And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 6 that Sandy read a few moments ago. Put on the full armor of God. That's the theme, right? Put on the full armor of God. So ask ourselves this, how much of the armor of God are we supposed to put on? The full armor. Put on the full armor. This text tells us that God has equipped us. God has given us gifts to wage what many people call spiritual warfare. And the reason he's given us those gifts to battle the spiritual battle is because, first of all, there is a spiritual battle, right? And sometimes Christians will trick themselves into sort of thinking that there isn't spiritual warfare, or some people will even say, I don't like that analogy, it's too militaristic. But there is a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle that goes on. And sometimes in the Bible, it's literal. I want us to think back, Old Testament, David and Goliath. Not a metaphor, right? Goliath is a giant, and David is a teenager. Goliath is a real enemy of God. He despises God's people. He opposes God's blessings to his people. And Goliath, think of this, Goliath every day goes out and ridicules them, mocks them. Your God is nothing. Your God can do nothing. Why don't you send one of your guys over here and we'll do some hand-to-hand combat? And he's huge, right? That's the battle he wants to fight. Let's do some hand-to-hand combat. The Bible, let's be honest, talks about battle and warfare and struggle quite a lot. We deceive ourselves if we want to wish it away. So what does David say? I love David. Again, none of the soldiers will go out to fight this huge monster of a man. But David, the teenager, full of faith, says in 1 Samuel 17:45, speaking to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. That's a wonderful text, right? I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Now, I want us to get this. Most days, you and I will not face a giant with a javelin, right? But we do face the spiritual battle, and we need to look at it. Now, I want to get to Ephesians 6. Before we get there, I want to say one more thing. A lot of times people will say, but about that metaphor about combat, we'll say, well, isn't Christianity about peace? Well, sure, Christianity is about peace. The Bible in the Old Testament promises many times the Messiah will come. God's going to send a Savior. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. What's else he going to be called? Prince of Peace. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that having been justified through faith, we have peace with God. The Bible talks about peace and well-being, and it's talking about an inner peace, by the way. And I think when we hear the word peace, I think the other thing that happens in our head, certainly in mine, I usually think, I would just like to get along with everybody. Isn't that nicer? Not to be at warfare, not to be in struggle. Let's just get along with people. Let's be nice. And there's a truth to that, but I want us to hear this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus speaking says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How is it that the Prince of Peace says, I did not come to bring peace but a sword? Here's how. Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with whom? Peace with God. And if you have peace with God, you have enmity with the world. Right? That's what's going on. To have peace with God, there's enmity with the world because people oppose the work and the will of God. And that means they oppose you too. Put on the full armor of God. Did you notice it said twice? Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, put on the full armor of God. Both times full, all of it. Paul is saying, whole kit and caboodle, put it on. Every bit of it. There is a spiritual battle, and he's specifically saying, do not go into that battle ill-equipped. No. St. Paul then does use the metaphor of the armor of a Roman soldier. He picks that because everybody in the first century has seen Roman soldiers. They know what it looks like. But you know what it looks like. You've seen Roman soldiers, haven't you? Where do you see them? In movies, right? So in more recent years, maybe the movie Gladiator. That's a fun movie to watch. Or maybe The Passion of the Christ. You've seen Roman soldiers in that. And if you're a little older, maybe you'll identify when I say you've seen them in the movie Ben-Hur. Right? So we've seen them, and I want you to hear what Paul says, because he's saying they put on the whole thing, the whole kit of what does it take to be a Roman soldier to face battle. You have this, plus this, plus this. So here they are. Let's look at them. Here, there's six of them. First one, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. How important is truth? Right? Truth. I always like this, that people will say that John, not Paul, but John is the apostle of love. And I agree. When you read not just his gospel, but read John's letters, it's full of love one another, right? God has loved you, love God. John talks about that if the love of God is active in your life, you'll love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love it. He actually makes this point. He says not just your brothers and, brothers and sisters in Christ, but your actual brother and sister. So it's true. John is the apostle of love, but I want you to always read his books and keep going. And you know what else you find about it? I think John is the apostle of love and truth. Check him out. He talks about love, and then he says stuff like this. 1 John 4:1, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. It's important for us, the true confession of who Jesus is, the belt of truth to confess the truth about Christ. Second thing he says, the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. I want us to know this because when the New Testament says righteousness, we have to be very clear. There's something it doesn't mean and there's some things it does mean. And here's what it doesn't mean. Sometimes people in Scripture read the word righteousness and they think that means I'm supposed to do better. That's not the New Testament view of righteousness. In the New Testament, righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. And not your righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Hear these words. It's a discovery. Romans 1:17. In the gospel, notice that, not it doesn't say in the law. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It says gospel, not law. And it doesn't say my righteousness. It says the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the just will live by faith. So we're talking about the righteousness of God, which becomes yours how? By receiving it. It doesn't mean do better. It means, what do you do with a breastplate? You put it on you, right? You put it on you. How often does St. Paul say, put on Christ? So when you hear the breastplate of righteousness, think to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. To say to God, please don't look at my sins, look at him. Right? That's what biblical righteousness is that. Lord, don't look at my sins. Don't look at my failings. They are many. Look at the crucified one. Third thing, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Feet with shoes on, sandals on. Fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That word readiness there, it means in the sense of preparation, and in the terms of soldiers, it actually means in the sense of to have a good footing, to be able to stand your ground. It's in picturing soldiers and an enemy running at you. What are you going to do? You're going to brace. Well, that's what's saying. Have your feet ready to have a good footing, to lay a good foundation. What do we say when we say we need to educate children? We need to lay a good foundation, right? We need to teach them the basics. Guess what, adults? Do you know what you and I need? Good foundation. To know the basic stuff, to know it and know it again, and to know it and revisit it. We need to have that foundation. What is it? The gospel. The foundation of the gospel of peace, that in Christ we're right with God. And he says, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. I want us to hear the Greek word. It's theraos. The reason I want us to know that is it's related to the Greek word door, which is theraos. Shield, theraos. Door, theraos. The reason it's saying that, Paul's using a technical term here. You've seen the Romans sometimes had that tiny little round shield. It's not that shield. When he says take up the shield of faith, you know what shield he's talking about? that big hawking one, right? You've seen Roman soldiers carrying that huge rectangular shield. The soldiers would lock them together. It has a metal frame. It's as big as a door. That's why it's related to the word door. Carry around a shield as big as a door. It's metal framed, layers and layers of leather. And before battle, they would soak it in water so that if somebody fired flaming arrows at them, they'd go out. Isn't that a fun technical term? That's why Paul says this, take up the shield of faith, hear these words, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see the image? What a beautiful image that is. Let me ask you this. Does stuff come at you? Does stuff come at you? Take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith as big as a door, soaked in water and extinguishing everything. What is that shield? Faith. Faith. How do people face the crises of life apart from faith? I know not. Take up that shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. The Greek has, again, a very descriptive word for it. The word for helmet is perikephalion. Kephale is head. Peri means around. Isn't that a cool image? What's a helmet? It's a thing that goes around your head, the perikephalion. It goes around your head. The helmet of salvation, the salvation of God, which goes where? My head. And I think this is what I mean. I think he's saying, in view of salvation, that changes the way we think. It changes the way we see things. We see things from a different perspective. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I want to go to Ephesians 4:14. Hear Paul talking about the results of salvation. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Do you hear what he's saying? You're saved, mature in faith. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be flopping all over the place with every little doctrine that comes along. It changes how we think. That's Ephesians 4:14. Here, Ephesians 4:17, he says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Funny choice of words, right? In the futility of their thinking, what goes on? Right here, put on the helmet of salvation. Last thing, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the one offensive weapon we have, the sword, the Word, the spoken Word of God. I think I've mentioned this in Sunday school class now and again. As a teenager, we used to do sword drills. Everybody looks at me funny like they've never heard that phrase. Anybody know that before? Sword drills? That's on the basis of this text. Take up the sword, which is the word. A sword drill was this. My Sunday school class teacher, when I was a child, would shout out a Bible verse, and whoever got there first got to read it. I would usually win because I'm competitive like that, right? Plus, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor someday, but that's not fair, is it? But yeah, sword drill is to say, this is the sword of the Lord. Shout out a Bible verse. Get there as quick as you can. It's a fun little thing. Try that at home, maybe, sword drills. But this is what, what does your pastor say to you on a regular basis? Bible, 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 right? In the Word, read the Word, study the Word. I love that last week we had the Gideons with us, and what did they say? They always quote Isaiah 55, where God says that my Word will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish the thing for which I sent it. Isn't that right? Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. How much of the armor of God should we take up? All of it. What is that armor? He's using the imagery of armor, but here's the words that go with it theologically. The armor of God is truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, and word. That's your armor, Christian, to equip yourself, to be equipped. Now, here's a fun question. Is the soldier always in battle? No, right? Sometimes the soldier's in training. That's what we're doing right now. This is a training place. Church, time spent in the Word, time spent in prayer. That's your training, the preparation for it. Also, there's not just training, but sometimes there's a time of refreshing. The soldier sometimes gets to go on leave. But the soldier will come back and face the battle. And that's why St. Paul says, verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Because it does. Last thing is this, and we need to know this. In Christ, if we're talking about battle, in Christ, the victory is assured. Can we know that? In Christ, the victory is assured. I want us to think again. Think of David and Goliath, a giant, a teenager. The odds makers favored Goliath, right? They watched ESPN in the morning, Goliath is favored by 10. How did it turn out? David. John 16:33, Jesus says, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. We just have to have this in our head and our heart. Jesus himself speaking says, in this world you will have trouble. So Christian, in the world are we going to have trouble? Yep, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, he continues, I have overcome the world. That's a good message, right? I have overcome the world. We serve Jesus, the risen one. Can you imagine his enemies gloating over his death? Think of it. Jesus defeated, they thought. How did that turn out? His victory. So St. Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Fight the good fight. Put on the full armor of God. And then this, again, a spiritual message about spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, St. Paul says, we don't wage war as the world does. It's not about beating somebody up, right? We don't wage the war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I love that comment. They have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We don't fight the way the world does, but we do win. We do win. Romans 8, also Paul. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So put on the full armor of God, all of it, not most of it. Don't leave something out. This is what Paul is saying. Christian, suit up and let's go demolish some strongholds. Amen. Let's stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.